Beautiful people, in this episode, Bernadette and I want to pause and publicly honor the mentors who have shaped our journeys, because mentorship in more ways than one has really just shaped us to the people we are today. And also, mentorship is so much more than that name, that title. It's more than advice, it's more than guidance, it's encouragement, and it's that steady push that helps us walk into our purpose with confidence. And for my mentor in public speaking, Sharon Hill, and I talk about mentorship, and I get to reveal to her how she impacted me in the discipline of public speaking. But I also want to thank two extraordinary women, my spiritual and professional mentor, Minister Gail Campbell, who was one of the very first people I confided in about my calling, and retired police deputy chief Loretta Bierstrom, from whom I learned more about true leadership than from any other mentor, friend, or colleague. And for Bernadette, she gives thanks to her mentor, the Honorable Pastor Angelo Feeney. Pastor Feeney and Pastor Bernadette built a mentor-mentee relationship that was not accidental. It was intentional, deliberate, and strategic. And because of that, Bernadette has grown into the leader she is today. So in this episode, we want to celebrate the gift of mentorship so we can remind all of us that no one gets where they are alone, and that behind every successful story, there's often a mentor who believed in us before we truly believed in ourselves. Let's do it.
It's the unknown. Unknown, it's the unknown, unknown preacher.
Hey, beautiful people. So today is special for many reasons. And the big reason, as I stated earlier, I get to give three of my mentors their flowers and publicly thank them for their impact, the difference they made in my life. But because of a scheduling conflict, one could not meet with us, so we did this pre-recording. And so right now I get to sit down with one of my own mentors, a powerhouse in motivational speaking, and someone who helped me find my voice in public speaking, Miss Sharon Hill. And so let me just say this about Sharon. She's known for igniting confidence in others, equipping leaders to speak with clarity, and motivating audiences around the world. And for me personally, she's been that guiding voice, reminding me, and she truly has done this, reminding me to step up, speak up, and never shrink back from my calling. Sharon, how are you?
I am doing fantastically, my friend. I couldn't be happier. Thank you. So good to see you, Alonzo.
You too. You too. I just want to thank you for everything. So glad that you could carve out time so we could talk about this thing we call mentorship, because I don't know where I would be without people like you and others who just poured into me. So I get to publicly thank you, but I'm just honored that you were going to share some of your wisdom with our listeners.
Gladly. Thank you, Alonzo.
Yes, indeed. So, hey, tell our listeners your story. What's Sharon Hill's story?
Okay, I actually have two stories, Alonzo. One is growing up in South Side of Chicago, believing that because I was Black, I was underprivileged, believing that I wasn't worth anything. I can leave out all the details there. But then the second part of my story is realizing, wait a minute, that's not the way to think, and working on the positives as opposed to the negatives, making myself understand that, you know, I don't have to put myself down for any reason. And I won't let anybody put me down for any reason. I'm leaving out all the gory details because it was a journey to get to that point. When I was a young girl at 8 years old, I was told that I learned the N-word at this all-white school I was going to. I'd never heard that word. And that just put me into a cowl thinking, oh, my goodness, I'm not worthy. I'm subhuman. Until I started working at IBM, by the grace of God, I got into IBM. And then I discovered that the people who I thought were high on the pedestal, the people who ran everything, the one I thought knew everything, the one I should kowtow to, didn't have a clue what they were doing. And that taught me, stick with the truth, stick with what I think is the way things should be, stay humble, but still continue learning and continue sharing from my message. How does that sound?
Oh, that sounds so many things came to mind when you said that, because I think that's a common story among many African Americans. We really we're in a position where people will overlook the greatness, and then because of that, we don't see the greatness in ourselves, and we're fearfully and wonderfully made, and we're made in the image of God. So that was one. The other thing, and I'm a big TV fanatic, and so I just you said the leaders didn't know what they were thinking about. I'm thinking about this episode of the Jeffersons, and that's old school, but Tom Willis, he was fighting hard for this to be the president of his publishing company. And when he got it, he was actually literally hiding under the desk. Like, because he was afraid. He didn't want people asking him questions. And through my career, to your point, I have seen where people get in these positions and we're all wearing masks. They're not as confident and sure of themselves as you if you would think, but it also empowers you to know that any one of us in any given time, we can be in that seat. And it really motivated me to continue to learn and grow. I'm never at a place where I think I know it all. It's always room for me to grow. And so that was a long winded, but I just wanted to, that's what came to mind when you said that. That's great. Yeah. Now, mentorship, let's talk, because that's the subject of this show. Your philosophy, tell us about your philosophy on mentorship, because I forever thank you when I joined Toastmasters and you pulled me to the side. And, you know, you think you're at a decent place, and then someone as magnificent as you really just showed me some. Yeah, seriously, you showed me little things that really made the world a difference. And I'm like, wow. Yeah. So even from like how to move when you speak. But tell us about your philosophy on mentorship.
Well, first of all, before I say that, I must say, Alonzo, you were a fantastic starting point for me. Because when I first heard your speeches before I became your mentor, I was so impressed with the way you carried yourself, with the way you talked. You just need just a little polishing that Toastmasters could do, which I did through my mentorship. And you listened and you applied. When it comes to mentoring, Alonzo, I was thinking before this call, how many people have I mentored both at IBM and in Toastmasters? Probably close to 100 off and on. And those who were like you, who listened, my philosophy was give it back. I managed to look out in life and let me share my mistakes. Let me share what I've done in my life. How can I help you? Where do you feel you need it? And that's how you opened up to me so that we could make it happen. I've had mentors who don't listen. I've had mentors who say they want to mentor. But then when I say I'll mentor them, they one, either don't show up on time for our time for me. Two, they don't do our action items that we discussed at the previous mentorship meeting. And three, I feel like they don't appreciate what I have to offer. And if that's the case, I just drop back and find somebody who does really want to take advantage of what I have to offer. Because my philosophy is stay humble, but please share. And I learned so much in Toastmasters that it helps me to prescribe based on Toastmasters guidelines, like you just mentioned, how to walk across the stage, how to carry your voice, how to project eye contact, how to talk with confidence. All that came with the Toastmasters that I can share with others and see them grow. So my philosophy is help them, watch them grow, always be there when they need me, and help those who want help and follow up, as opposed to those who just want to say they have a mentor, but don't want to do what it takes to become successful.
Wow. And you said an earful, because I have seen that with some people who've asked me to be their mentors. And when you when you give them the critique or the feedback, yes. I want to say, yes. they get a little offended by it, and they're not exactly really open to it. And it's kind of hurtful, because it's like, if you really want to grow, you got to know that, here are some tips, here's some things that I see, or mm-hmm. others probably see. And then the power of presence, which you just talked about, showing up matters. And
yes,
you're devoting your time.
Yeah, yes.
You took the time, and I didn't take that for granted. And it breaks your heart when others do. But yeah, so I'm not gonna hold you up too long, but I want to ask you maybe one or two other
good
questions. I love this. So, when you look at your journey, what was that defining? Because I love your story, and this is what I meant to follow up with. What was that defining moment? I know you said IBM, but was there a moment where you said I am worthy, for lack of better words? Or
yes, it came in. I was starting with IBM. To repeat mm-hmm. myself, I always felt, even that imposter syndrome. Do I really belong here?
Yeah.
But what happened was, when I'll tell you now, it took me 5 colleges before I finally graduated and got my bachelor's degree and then my MBA. But when I flunked out of college, the first year, with a 1.7 GPA, I felt that just added to my feelings of insecurity. And I guess I wasn't meant for college. But when IBM said, there's so much to say about this, but when IBM brought me in, I studied because I felt like I'm the one person. These women be talking about their college days and their dorms. I didn't have a college day in dorm because I flunked out. So now I'm going to school at night and working during the day, going to school on weekends, going and working during the day as well. When I finally started achieving, when I finally started seeing, I did that. I did it on my own. I studied. I stayed till 1 a.m. sometime trying to learn how to program. Until finally the successes added up, Alonzo, that I said, you know what? I'm not all bad. I'm bad at all. What in the world have I been putting myself down for? This imposter syndrome, that's not right. And the more successes I had, that's when the light bulbs went off, Alonzo, when my successes started having people calling me, asking me to speak at IBM, asking me to, it just grew and grew and grew until finally I said, staying humble, you know what? I'm not all bad, and I got to share this information with others. And that's what I'm doing. That's my philosophy. Share it with others.
I love it. And I knew of your story about growing up in South Side of Chicago and all that.
Yes.
I was impressed. But when I hear you do a presentation, I mean, I'm sitting there taking notes. I'll just tell you that. I'm a student of, of many experts and many disciplines. And when I listen and watch someone like you present, it's just, and I'm going to even say it, it was like back in the day, me watching MJ in the NBA, like taking notes. Like you are very inspiring. So,
thank you, Alonzo. Yeah. You're such a sweetheart. You set the role for so many others to follow, man. I'm very proud of you.
Thank you. And I really appreciate you. I'm going to ask this last question. And I want, because I really want our listeners to get as much as they can out of it. So if someone's listening right now and they're feeling small or unsure about their voice, what would you say to them? What advice would you give them?
Well, depending on how we define their voice, I would suggest, first of all, joining Toastmasters to gain confidence in themselves. And that's something that you just can't snap your fingers and it happens overnight. We've had people come into Toastmasters, which is a worldwide organization, $10 a month, so it doesn't break the bank. But when you start with Toastmasters, we've had people around, and I'm sure you've seen some who are so terrified. Mm-hmm. Public speaking is the number one fear of most people in the world. We've had people run out of the room because they were so scared. But when they come back and follow the formula for how, here's how you speak, and getting evaluations in a safe environment where they don't tear you down, the more you grow, the more successes that you have, the stronger that you'll have. Also, throw away any negative self-talk that you have. If you're not unsure about yourself, negative self-talk is so destructive. And I don't believe in having any negative self-talk because I lived with that self-talk and taught myself how wrong I was. So anybody who's listening who's thinking, gosh, I wish I could be like that. I'm not sure I could. Yes, you can. It's a matter of applying yourself, having thick skin, getting a strong mentor who can tell you like it is in a nice way, not being brutal about it, where you can listen and apply and apply and apply and tell yourself positive thoughts as opposed to negative thoughts, which can be so destructive.
Amen. And I love what you touched on about the public speaking piece, because I remember thinking, so I had goals, and public speaking was the one thing that was that roadblock, because it was preventing me from going for certain things. And I was like, man, once I conquer that, and I can't remember who, but someone said that to me, once you conquer that, man, it's limitless. And you, I've seen people pass out before. I've seen people have anxiety attacks. But once you feel comfortable and you can do it, man, there's no stopping you. So
Thank you
for sharing that. Sharon, much love to you, my sister. And I can't wait for us to do this again. And I know that with you and my other two mentors, man, this is going to be a show for the ages. So thank you.
Set the world on fire, Alonzo. You're right.
Yes. Always a pleasure. And I will talk to you soon.
Okay. Thank you for this opportunity, Alonzo. I appreciate it.
No, thank you. God bless, Sharon.
God bless you.
BSHE Incorporated is a dedicated, community-based nonprofit supporting individuals fleeing domestic violence. They are not state-funded and rely entirely on the generosity of donors, sponsors, and the community fundraising efforts to continue their mission. Serving Southern Wake County and the surrounding areas, BSHE provides safe emergency housing for those in crisis, housing assistance to help survivors rebuild, mental health support and counseling, financial aid to promote stability, and educational programs to inspire healthy, independent futures. Their mission is simple yet powerful: to help survivors reclaim their independence and foster healthy relationships through compassion, resources, and education. This year alone, more than 20 clients have transformed their lives with the help of BSHE's services. We invite you to join them for their third annual fundraiser, Sunday, September 28th, 2 p.m. to 7 p.m., the Pavilion at Carriage Farm, Raleigh, North Carolina. Tickets available now on Eventbrite. Also, follow them on Facebook, Instagram, all major platforms. Discover ways to donate, volunteer, and advocate. Your support changes lives. Every ticket purchased, every share, every dollar given brings hope to someone in need. Remember, be the she or he who owns the power within yourself.
Welcome back, beautiful people, to another episode of the Unknown Preacher LA. I'm your host, Lonzo, a.k.a. L.A., and today's conversation is one I'm especially excited about because it's personal on a lot of levels. We're talking about mentorship, what it looks like spiritually, what it looks like professionally and why every single one of us need people in our lives who help us grow, sharpen us, walk us through the many challenges we face in life. And helping me crack this today, my friend, Pastor Bernadette Martin. Bernadette, how are you, my sister?
I'm good. Alonzo, how are you?
I am great. And I know you're excited about this as well, right?
I am.
Yeah.
It's a good topic.
Yes, indeed. And if you, I don't know if you remember, you were co-hosting with me a few months or several months ago, and we were just talking, and organically we just started talking about mentorship. And I actually, you said something, and it was like, hey, we ought to do an episode on it. And here we are, man. So
I think I do remember.
Yeah.
I can't remember what episode, but
me
I
either. Remember
how that conversation came about.
Yes, yes. And, you know, like, it's just, I'm excited because I get to publicly thank three people who are dear to me. Sharon Hill couldn't make our recording, but she and I did like a short, you know, just discussion. So I'll insert that in this episode, but I get to thank two people who I will say helped shape me. And I know you have your mentor on as well. So just super excited about this. Yeah. So you want to just go ahead and get started and jump into our mentors and let them introduce themselves. I'll start with first, retired Deputy Chief Loretta Clyburn Bistrom. I'm gonna say the whole, yes. So I'll make it real short right now. Loretta, from day one when I was a rookie officer, pulled me to the side, saw something in me, and the rest is history. I can't tell you the countless times she's been there for me and helped me professionally, emotionally, and on the side of confidence. So, Loretta, do you want to tell our listeners something about yourself?
My name is Loretta Bjerstrom. I was Loretta Clyburn during the majority of my career with the Durham Police Department. I am ancient because I started thinking today that it has been over 40 years.
Wow.
I was hired. So I was hired in the early to mid 80s, and I had the opportunity to work with some fabulous people, and AZ, you being one of them, Gail Campbell, you being another one. I was very honored when you asked me to be on this episode. For the last 12 years, I've been retired and hanging out with grandkids, and this is a real treat for me today, and I am very, very happy to be here.
Well, it's an honor, and don't thank me for bringing you on, man. It is what's owed, at least I can do, so thank you. My other friend and mentor, minister, she's been on here a number of times, Minister Gail Campbell. Gail, how are you? You want to add anything? I know the listeners know who you are, but anything you want to add?
I'm good. I'm a retired police officer, and that's been almost 30 years that I came on.
Wow.
And I wouldn't trade the experience for anything, or the experience with my coworkers and supervisors and all of that. So, well, and especially, and with you as well. When I see Loretta, you know, it brings back some memories, some good ones.
Amen.
And some that's, you know, funny only to me, but I just thank God that I had the chance to work with both of you and then to experience time with you and learn. Yeah, so you saying I was a mentor. Okay. That's all.
Oh, more than you know, Gail, more than you know. And Pastor Bernadette Martin, do you want to introduce your mentor?
Yeah, I am elated to introduce not only a mentor, but she's become, she was a mentor, a spiritual mom, but she's also become another mom to me. So I am thoroughly thankful to God that he sent the Reverend Angela Finney my way. And so without further ado, I'll let her introduce herself.
Thank you. Thank you, B. And I'm Angela Finney, and you know, I pastor in my city, and I have some former military experience, and I've served as a chaplain, and I'm thoroughly enjoying working in the vineyard of pastoring right now. And, you know, it's been a privilege to have Martin, you know, first to become her mentor and then to become family. So I'm glad to be here today.
Amen. We're so happy to have you. Bernadette, anything you want to say before we start getting into the discussion?
Not at the moment. I believe that this is going to be a good episode, because I think sometimes we don't pause enough to say thank you to those who helped us get to where we are and help shape us and mold us and pray for us and, you know, hold our hands and listen to us. And so, yes. Yeah, not right now. So,
yeah, I second that. Last week I had Evelyn Booker on. She was the first Black female executive at WRAL. At that time it was ABC. I think they're NBC now. But she was talking about all the things, all the work she's done and pouring into people. And I actually paused during the episode and was like, just what you said, like, wow, the work you're doing, we just don't take enough time to just say thank you. So for me, that's the biggest part of this episode, just saying thank you to some really wonderful people and giving nuggets for our listeners who may be in pursuit of a mentor or really not sure or understand the benefits of having a mentor. So we'll start with the first question, and we'll go from there. So what first drew you into becoming a mentor, and how did you know you were called to pour into others?
Well, for me, it was kind of accidental. As I said, I started working in the police department in the early to mid 80s. And back then it was during public safety. So it was, we were firefighters and police officers. And then about a year and a half after I started, the department split up and we got to choose where we were going. And I chose the police department. So after being cross-trained and then going into a department, corporal came up to me and said that they bombed the test on the corporal's exam, and could I help them, you know, figure out what had happened and help them, you know, maybe take the test next time. So basically we sat down, we talked. He had the intellect, he had the experience, he knew exactly what to do. However, he had difficulty selling himself in a positive manner and also maintaining a calm composure when he was doing the oral review board. So we worked together on those things, just talking to him about how you tell people about yourself in a confident manner, but not an arrogant manner.
Yeah.
How to be humble, and but how to sell yourself so that people know that you're ready for that promotion, as well as doing some mock interviews. We videoed and then looked at those videos and pointed out the things that are, you know, needed to be changed in those videos. Because I don't even know how much it is. Maybe 96% of communication is nonverbal. So start looking at videos, you could see the things that were letting people think that he was nervous or, you know, not very calm or very confident. So he worked on this and then went back and was promoted to a corporal. And then he's promoted several times during, you know, his stint in the police department, and he is retired now. But yeah, that first time I think that I did anything like that, and that's because somebody came up and asked me to do it.
Hey man, I love that story. You and our relationship is not far different, so thank you. Angela, you have anything to say on that?
I do. You know, there's some similarities here. You know, I've always had a desire to impart knowledge or help the underdog, or, you know, take up for someone who I thought was getting a raw deal, or speak up for someone who didn't have the courage or the know-how to speak up for themselves. And so that's a part of the person that I've always been. Now, when I fast forward to that, and I think about a mentorship, I never asked for that. While hindsight, and I can reflect, I can see some instances of mentoring along the way, but I never really asked for a one-on-one relationship to mentor. As a matter of fact, it was almost like being called into ministry. You know, I pretty much felt like that's not for me. And so, you know, but it was definitely something that, because I'm in ministry, or just because of my relationship, you know, it's like, I really got to seek God about this and see where he leads me with this. So to become a mentor was him leading me into new territory. And so that was pretty much the first thing I figured out about mentorship, is that that type of relationship is for the both parties. And so there's something for everybody to learn and to gain in those type of relationships.
Amen. Thank you. I love that you keep using the word relationship, because we'll talk about that a little later, but that's a really big piece of this mentorship. Gail, anything to add?
Well, when I was listening to both Loretta and both the pastor, I could relate to both, because that's intentionally mentoring. No, that wasn't me. And actually, and when I started preaching, when I was called into the ministry, that was a big question, because, you know, I'm looking over my shoulder to see, well, who is he? Are you talking to me, Lord, for that? But either way, whether you do it voluntarily and seek it out, or whether it just happens, it happens for a reason. And so, yes, and even when in the police department, when you're training someone, you're actually mentoring them. Yeah. But because actually, when you look up the definition of mentoring, you're guiding, you're training, you're assisting, you're imparting. And that's what we were actually doing whenever we trained someone in the police department. And even when in the ministry, I would have to say he's not here to, he's not listening, but I would say that my husband is my mentor. He kind of helps keep me on track when I want to go off into Gale and just cut loose and be myself. I'm still going to be myself, but he's there to give me suggestions, some of the simplest things as far as representing the kingdom. Yeah. But then also in the police department, it's so important for new officers to have, we call ourselves training officers, but we're actually their mentors. And some of they were going to either take the good that we present and the solid that we present, or they were going to take, if we had mess to us, we were going to be imparting that too. Mm-hmm. So I'm just glad to have been able to be a part of that and still be a part of it. So, yeah.
Amen. Well said. And I love what you said about the training officers, because my training coach, Sharon Barringer, she was phenomenal at teaching me the basics and really understanding what it meant to be a police. Hardworking, never, ever. She intentionally made us get off late every shift. But I remember when we were in the academy and they talked about our assignments, and they said, hey, we put a lot of thought in this and we're pairing your personality with the right training coach. Back then, you could do that. Now, you know, it's hard to do that. You're just trying to find training officers. But they were actually matched. My personality was just really aligned with her. So thank you for sharing that. Thank you.
Okay. So can y'all share a time when God gave you wisdom for someone you were mentoring that surprised even you? I mean, like a moment that was like, did that just come out of my mouth?
One particular time, but I am right there with Gail when she's talking about, were they talking to me? Because, you know, my personality was kind of wide open. I talked a lot. I moved a lot. I was pretty wide open as a police officer. So for somebody to come and ask me for assistance kind of flipped me out, because I didn't think that I was mentor material. And like I said, it just happened by accident and that first time. But then after that, I kind of got a feel of, okay, if you did okay with this guy, you know, he did all right, and he went forward. Maybe there is a purpose for this. And I've always talked a lot, and I've always talked to everybody, and I've always loved everybody. So I was like, okay, maybe you can channel this. Like Gail was talking about, you know, her husband gives her for suggestions for not going off on being Gail. When she used the reference that her husband gave her suggestions on how not to be Gail sometimes, when you start talking about really mentoring people, we start looking at ourselves, and I know exactly what she means, because I had to really kind of calm myself down and channel positive energy into other people in order to be a mentor. I don't think I was cut out for it or was meant to be it in the beginning, but when God wants you to do something and he touches you, whether you're meant to do it or not, or whether you're the best person on the exterior to do it, he works through you. And that is what I just finally had to say, okay, if you want me to do this, I'll do this. And then as time went on and I got promoted more, I actively went out and tried to find out what people wanted how I could help them and what paths that I could send them down in order to achieve their goal.
And I, when you just asked that question about being surprised, I recall one time, because I never considered myself like an official mentor, M-E-N-T-O-R. That just not was not my mindset. But one day I was in criminal investigations, and we were on call, and I don't know if I was corporal by that time. I don't know if I was or not, but I think I was one of the older detectives in the on call unit, and someone was calling from another jurisdiction, and they were trying to hand something off. It was basically what I believed to be was, okay, you're going to throw this responsibility on us. We're not going to have it. And so the G-A-L-E small letters came out, and I let them know what we were and were not going to do as Durham investigators, and that was not our responsibility, and I basically went off. And then here comes the sergeant, Winslow Forbes, saying, Campbell, you got these other investigators watching you, and you're usually the calm one, and you're usually the more mature, and you can't do that in front of them. And I was like, you know, what do you mean an example? I'm just here. And he was like, no, you're right here. And this is what they're looking at. And this is what you need to present. And that kind of surprised me, because I that just was not my mindset of anybody, you know, watching me in that way. And me being in any type of unofficial leadership in that way. But actually, once he called me on it, it stuck with me, never left me. So, yeah, that was kind of surprising to me. Signing off.
Thank you, Gail.
So I can relate to the surprise. Because outside of being surprised to, you know, to the call of mentorship, I can remember in particular having a conversation, and this conversation, you know, has everything to do with Rev Martin. And so we're having this conversation, and I'm talking to her, and she's talking to me, and I'm talking to her, and she's talking to me, and I hear the spirit of the living God literally say to me, you got to be blunt with this girl. It surprised me, but what did not surprise me was it worked. You know, the spirit was right, is that you got to be blunt with this girl. And so now I can count countless times, you know, where wisdom and being available, because just being available to hear and to discern and to look into the situation. And I really believe this, that if this is the assignment, you know, that somehow, some way, you know, you get prepared, you know, through for this assignment. And so here I am, you know, watching my preparation as well in this assignment, because so the surprise was, you know, just really how the Lord said, hey, you have to be blunt, because y'all will go back and forth all day. And sometimes I can be no nonsense, and that's what the Lord's trying to share to me, is that
is you know every part of this relationship. There's a time, and you know, for everything, there's a time and a place for everything, and so I just remember that we were having this conversation going back and forth, and you know, and the Lord said, you know, you gonna have to just be blunt, and so I was just blunt and outspoken, and she got it. She got it, because this was new to me, and as a matter of fact, the backstory is that Reverend Martin asked me to be her mentor, and so I said, you know, I need to pray about it. I need to seek God. And let me tell you, and she's heard this story. I need to pray about it really meant I need to pray about it. But I need to pray about it and seek God kind of meant no, too. Because I didn't really want to. and the I didn't really want to is because it was going to require something of me. And so so what I began to learn as I prayed about this, I began to learn that, you know, as with everything, you got to count the cost. And so it's going to require something of you. If you do this, it's going to require your time. It's going to require your talents. It's going to require your, it's going to require something. It's going to require commitment. And so I knew that. And I think the closer I lean to, I don't have time for this, the more the Lord says, this is exactly what you needed. You do have time for this. Because you needed it. And the Lord began to speak to me and say, what, Jessica, can you imagine when you were 28, if you had another woman willing to pour into you? And so I was like, that's a surprise. You know, and so so as I think about it, as I really think about it, you know, this journey that I've been on in mentorship and building a relationship and seeing the relationship evolve, you know, there's been a number of times that I have been completely surprised with the dynamics of this of the mentorship. Absolutely.
Wow. It really shows how thoughtful you were before making that decision. So kudos. Sounds like my sister Bernadette made a very wise decision in approaching you. Let me ask our mentors this. What qualities do you believe every spiritual leader must develop before they can, well, leader in general too, before they can pour into others? And Angela kind of touched on it too.
You know, so I think that, see that question you said, what, that every spiritual leader.
Yeah, I kind of changed a little because I heard myself, but yeah, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. And I think one of the biggest qualities, I think, of course, I think every spiritual leader needs to have some disciplines, mm-hmm. and, you know, some things that they do. You know, they pray, they meditate, they talk to God, and they worship, and I think, you know, they study the word, you know, I think those disciplines have to be there. But some of the qualities that I think is very beneficial to, you know, both the mentor and the mentee is like a self-awareness, knowing who you are, not being on the fence, you know, and so I think that every mentor should have a level of confidence and in who they are. And you know, unapologetically. I mean, this is while we're all still growing, but this is who I am today.
Yeah.
And because I think those things, those are things you cannot hide, even if you think you can. And so I think that that's one of the big things that that really needs to be able to seep through those type of relationships is that self-awareness of who I am. And, you know, what you see is what you get. Amen. So that's my take on that one.
Amen to that. Thank you. Gail, you have anything to add?
I would say, as a mentor, you can easily, during that relationship, you can easily, have access to certain information about, you know, the person that you're mentoring, simply because of the contact, the regular contact. And, I've seen where so many, people that are in spiritual leadership positions, ministers, whether they're preaching every Sunday or whether they're pastors or whether they're evangelists, whether they're going around the country, sometimes not everyone can keep confidence and have practice confidentiality in that relationship, to where you're mentoring someone, but you're talking talking about them with someone else, or God forbid you decide to include them in your morning sermon. And next thing you know, you're sitting, your mentee is sitting there listening to a conversation that this also spiritual leader has decided to include in their sermon.
Yeah. That's good, Reverend Gail.
And that's
the integrity. That's good.
Integrity. Right. So, yeah, and I'm saying confidentiality, but integrity is it. So, that's it.
Perfect. Loretta, anything?
I'm sorry. That's what I was going to say, is that integrity has got to be there. It just has to be. And I know that that's one of the words that they always use in the police department. You know, honesty and integrity and all of this stuff. And you can use those words in a lot of frivolous ways. But when you start talking about really trying to help somebody, you know, do anything that's going to be a positive influence in their life, the integrity has to be there. I also agree with the pastor that you have to know who you are. You have to know who you are, and you have to know who the person is that you are mentoring. And you have to be truthful with people. You have to be able to look at somebody when they're doing something not right and say, I love you, but this is not right.
Yeah.
And you cannot do this, and your guys cannot do this, and I will help you find ways of not doing it. But you have to be honest with people in a very kind, truthful, and way, so that you don't just get in their face and say, that's wrong, you know, you're not doing this right. But it's more of a teaching moment in that I love you, but this is wrong, and I wouldn't be honoring you or honoring myself if I didn't tell you the truth. So that honesty and that integrity, I think, is probably the backbone of all mentorship.
Great. Thank you.
Yeah, I think honesty and integrity is probably a perfect segue into this next question. So have you ever had to give hard truth to someone that you mentored? And how did you balance correction with compassion?
Well,
I'm pretty sure that answer is absolutely yes. Uh-huh. For all of us. Absolutely. I think the balance is in love. You know, because it's not optional to be, you know, whether or not I give you these truths. That's not optional. But I think you try and balance it with, you know, with love and hopefully you've developed the quality of relationship that, you know, while you might be upset with me because I give you this hard truth, when that person have a time to sit with it, they'll know that it's in love. I think that's why it's really important. I think sometimes you can fail at this, and I know I have, but I think that's why it's really important to try and keep to watch judgment and to display compassion and love, because there comes a time. I mean, even when I think about it, even with your children, if you're a parent, that you got to just deliver the hard truth. And the only thing that keeps them from breaking down is that they know that you have their best interests at heart.
Amen.
I had one incident that I would like to share that was very difficult, but it had to be done. Was a officer when I was a lieutenant, I had to run to a police officer up for a reprimand, which is always difficult. However, this had to be done because it was against policy, and it was clearly against policy. But this was also a person that always talked to me, and you know, people knew that there was a very, very good relationship there. So you've got other officers looking, as Gail was saying earlier about, you know, Winslow Forbes stopping her. Police officers always look at how you treat other people, and they want to make sure that everybody's being treated fairly across the board, and I get that and I understand that. There's been times that I'm sure we've all been treated unfairly, and we know how that feels, so we don't want to do that to anybody else. But people knew that this person was kind of close to me or would talk to me more than a lot of other officers would. So there was no doubt in my mind that I had to sit down and do this exactly as I would do it for somebody else that didn't talk to me, because it was a violation and that was it. And he did it, and he said he did it, and that was the way it is. So I sat down and talked to him and told him, you know, this is what's going on and this is what I have to do. And he said, okay, and he signs it. And then he sits there and talks for another 20 minutes about other different stuff. And we walked to the door, and my captain's office was right next door to us. And we walked to the door, and I was like, okay, here's your copy of this, and I'll put the copy, our copy here, and thank you very much. And he turned around and started to walk off, and then he turned around and came back and hugged my dad. And then walked out of the building, and my captain was standing in the hall, and he said, how on earth? What? Did you decide that you're not going to write him up because y'all are friends? And I said, no, here's the write-up. Here you go. And he started laughing. And he said, how on earth can you write somebody up and then hug your neck and walk out of the building in the same meeting? And I said, I don't know. I guess I got lucky, but I just love people. And I tried very hard to separate. This has to be done, but I still love you as a person. But this is business. This is a job, and it has to be done. And I think they're... I pray a lot, and I used to pray a lot. I prayed every second of every day that I drove to Durham, okay? When I left Durham, I was praying. When I was on my way. I was praying on the way to every call. Lord, don't let me have to hurt nobody. Lord, don't let nobody hurt me. Give me the words to say to people. I mean, I was a constant prayer. I might not have been praying out loud, but I was praying every second of my life or in a police uniform anyway. And I think that praying and praying and praying and asking God over and over and over again to give me the words and to give me the strength to do the right things, but to do it in such a manner that people could walk out and with their dignity and know that they're respected, even if they made an error, that it's not the end of the world. So I think I've been very blessed. I think that the Lord has really helped me in a lot of situations. I really do. But that was just one that I remember. And I hadn't thought about that in years. Y'all brought up a really good memory.
Amen. I actually remember that and something very similar and learned from you. So that it's a reminder that people are watching, like, me as a mentee was watching you do that, and I learned a lot.
Can I just write? It's more than poetry. It's a soul exposed, a breath exhaled, a mirror held to the beauty and the struggle of living, loving, hurting, and healing. Written by best-selling author J. DeWayne Garnett, this deeply personal, spiritually grounded journey gives voice to the emotions we often silence, from grief and injustice to fatherhood, faith, and resilience. Each poem is a release, a revelation, not written to impress, but to connect. This isn't a performance. This is permission to feel, to speak, to write. Read it in stillness. Speak it aloud. Let "Can I Just Write" stir your spirit, affirm your worth, and remind you your story matters. Order now at loveisaparable.com or Amazon.
When your season of mentoring is over, what do you hope your mentees will carry forward most?
Mine is over. And I have seen my mentees far exceed anything that I ever did. And that makes me so happy. Not only, and it's not happiness, it's joy. It is joy in my heart to see people that I had maybe a very small part in their progression, to see them get promoted and to go further in places than I ever thought about. It just makes me joyful. It's not even happiness. It's a level more than happiness, because I'm just so proud and really honored to be a small part, if I influenced in any way any of these guys. I have actually had quite a few people that technically used to work for me that have went places and done so many good things, AZU being one of them. And I am very, very proud of all of guys. And I also am, like I said, very, very honored to be a small part of that. If I influenced in any way, I'm just very happy.
Yeah, I'm getting a little misty. Yeah, you... The way you pour into people is just incomparable. So thank you on so many levels. Angela?
So I hope that I hope that anyone that I have the opportunity to mentor, that they would understand a few things and take it with them. One thing is that relationships change our lives.
Yes.
And that God blesses us through relationships.
Yeah.
I hope that they pay it forward. And, You know, I hope that they pay it forward. And one of the biggest thing, key things that I hope that they take away from it also is that you can grow through every situation.
Yeah.
And that's one of the things that I really like to talk about and challenge, you know, in conversations with colleagues and, you know, and people that we have an opportunity to pour into is that in every situation, I want them to know you can grow in it. You can grow in it. You can learn something from it. And so I hope that they would take that and pass it on, you know, pass it on. That's one of my things is, you know, you pass it on to someone else. Everything you think you gain, however you think you benefited, that you share it with someone else. And I think would be, you know, we'll keep creating dynamic relationships and opportunities for people if, you know, they would pass it on. And I'm certain that, you know, many of the, especially as law enforcement, I'm so sure that, you know, you probably have countless people that you trained or you poured into, yeah. and you probably had an opportunity to witness them, you know, doing the same thing, passing it on and training someone else and them taking those nuggets that they gained from you and sharing them with other people. So let's pay it forward, pass it on, and you know, create opportunities for some other people.
Wow. Thank you. That's so spot on. Gail, you have anything to add?
One thing that I heard when I first, the first week of training in the police academy mm-hmm. was a sergeant at the time, Sergeant Hodge. Mm-hmm. And one thing that he said that stuck with me, and it could be related to scripture. Well, it is relatable to scripture, but the first thing that he told everyone is to treat, when we're out on the street, to treat people the way that we would want to be treated, or we would want our family to be treated, or our loved ones. And basically, let's do unto others as you would have them do unto you.
Yeah.
And that stuck with me. And whether I was training someone or whether I was just doing general work, it always stuck with me. And that's the main thing that I wanted anyone that I was mentoring or training to get, not just the law and not just the letter of the law, but also the spirit of it. And the spirit of it is not meant necessarily to punish all the time. And I wanted that to be seen by anyone that I train or that I mentored.
Amen. Amen. I appreciate all those answers. It just really makes you think. And I know Bernadette, when we talked about doing this episode, and she has some really good insight. She talked about, hey, let's also take time, because we talked about honoring you all, but mentioning that one thing your mentor shared with you that you live by. And so both of you, actually, it's hard to choose one thing, but I'll say, like with Gail on the professional level, I just remember, well, two things I actually remember. I'm going to slide two in, but one, when I first went to investigations, Gail was there. And instead of really asking for help, I took the lead. I had this case of sexual assault involving a 5-year-old girl, and I let my emotions get the best of me, and I ran the case without checking the boxes. And totally that case. The person was not charged. The charges were dismissed. And I remember venting about it, and Gail just really, she could have really put the light on me and showed me the fallacies that were done on this case, but it was a teachable moment. And she took the time. She probably doesn't, you probably don't even remember it, Gail, but she took the time and really went line for line of what I should have done. And if I had done that, it would have probably been a better outcome. And it was a lesson to me to learn to ask for help. You know, I think our pride gets us, and it can, if we follow our pride, it could take us down a really dark path. And so humility is a big thing. And so Gail, that was a valuable lesson. And then we worked in internal affairs together. And I remember my first case involving an officer and Gail, you know, saying, always give them benefit of doubt. You're talking about someone's livelihood. If there's not enough evidence, you know, sometimes, again, we can let our emotions get in the way, but mm-hmm. out of fairness. And we have to be fair to our citizens and to the employees on that side when you're investigating those cases. So those were two things. But Loretta, wow. I remember, I think at this time, but like I said earlier, Loretta from day one was pulling me to the side, giving me great counsel. But at this point in my career, I can't remember if I was a lieutenant or a captain, but I was venting to Loretta about being a black man and feeling like you haven't, well, being African American in general, man, not man or woman, but just feeling like you have the pressure of the world on you and everything you do when you speak in public, when you, you know, manage people, you feel like you're representing your entire race, right? And if you fail, then you let your people down. That was the mindset. And I was venting to Loretta, and I don't know if Loretta remembers this, but you basically told me to get over it in my way. Like, you have to get past that. And I think I was preparing for promotion. So, yeah, I was a lieutenant. But Loretta, you said, you know, when people, you let people really get to know who AZ is, and there's no telling how far you can go. And so Loretta gave me the confidence to really be myself. When I got promoted in the past, I think as a corporal or sergeant, I was trying to put myself in the image of what an ideal supervisor was. But when Loretta said that, it empowered me to be, hey, I can be sensitive. I can show people concern and care and still be firm. So those are my two stories.
A virgin collard greens, squash and tomatoes, apples and okra and fresh sweet potatoes. $25 bags stuffed full of grub. These are the things at the Black Farmer's Hub. Ooh, ooh, onions and radishes, turnips and tamarind, turmeric and garlic and ginger's on hand here. Black beans, cucumbers, zucchini and hay. Let's not forget Nature's 360 Cafe. Fresh pressed juices, we've got smoothies, acai bowls too. From herbs to hoop cheese and wines made locally, it's at the Black Farmer's Hub.
You know, after once on our talk about this episode, I thought about like a one-liner that I could say for my mentors. And two things came to mind for Reverend Finney. And she told me, I remember we were standing in her church in the middle aisle, and she said, bloom where you're planted. And I took that to heart, and I tried to live by that in my ministry. Bloom where you're planted. Because for so many people think that when we get these appointments, when we get these assignments, that we're going to easy places. We're going to places without problems. We're going to go meet people who don't have problems. And that's just not the truth. And so if we bloom, we're replenished. You know, we roll up our sleeves and we start doing the work. No matter how hard or how heavy the lift is, we know that if we're committed to blooming where we're planted, we're committed to doing the work. And then the other thing she often tells me is to be where you're supposed to be and do what you say you're going to do. Don't have nobody looking for you. So in that, she was telling me, you know, be a woman of your word. You know, keep your word. If you say you're going to do something, do it. You know, in the AME church, you know, we know the AME protocol. We know what's required of us. And coming into the AME church in 2022, you know, that's when I met Reverend Vinny in November of 21. And I asked her to be my mentor in 22. But she didn't know I had already told God, I need a mentor. I had already talked to God on the front end. And so he put her name in my mind. And so I was like, I'm gonna go ask her, hey, do you mentor? And when she said, you know, no, but let me pray about it. I had no idea that let me pray about it sometimes meant no. And so I just trusted God. You know, hey, you put a name in my mind. So I just let God do what he always does. And so but to be where you're supposed to be and don't have nobody looking for you, you know, it teaches me the level of responsibility that we have. And to bloom where you're planted always reminds me that, like she said, no matter how hard it gets, you can grow through it. And so, those were my one-liners for Reverend Finney.
Wow. Reverend Finney is... golden, just like Loretta and Gail. So, yeah, just so glad to have all of them on. Anything y'all want to add? Do y'all remember those moments, all three of you? I'm just curious because oftentimes we do the right thing and don't even remember how important, how significant that piece of time was for our mentees.
I can say I don't remember.
It's so good.
But I do remember someone that for some reason I remember when I'm training or mentoring someone, there was someone in particular that I became close to. But everything that I advised them on, I might as well have been talking to the wind. I advised them anyway. No, they did not take it. I talked to them. So, yeah, I remember who didn't take it more than who did. Because who didn't take it are the ones that had more problems in the long run.
Yes.
And so, yeah. I need to get over that. That's all.
But that happens sometimes that you talk to you blue in the face and people don't always receive it. But you know, I still think that's a part of our personal growth as well as theirs, is that people are not always gonna take your advice.
Yeah.
They're not always going to receive what you say, and then you still got to learn how to be okay with it.
Do you remember what Bernadette was referring to?
I do. I remember I was the first time she mentioned the bloom where you planted, I was surprised she remembered that. But I'm happy to see that she really took that to heart. Oh. And has done just that. And, you know, the do what you say you're going to do and to be where you're supposed to be. I'm not surprised at all on that, because I say those things frequently. You know, that's one of the things that that helped me. And so I knew that drilling that in to her, because it helped me. Someone told it to me.
Yeah.
Do what you say you're going to do. And so just realizing how important that was, I knew that I had to share that. You got to do what you said you were going to do when you're tired, when you don't feel well. And because there's more at stake here. Your word, your bond, your relationships are at stake. Do what you said. So I definitely remember that. Do what you say you're going to do and be where you're supposed to be. Absolutely.
Awesome. Absolutely. What about you, Loretta? Do you remember that discussion?
I don't remember that specific moment. Mm-hmm. But I remember talking to you so many times and hoping that you could see you through that you would look in the mirror one day and see everything that I saw in you from day one. And I'm so glad to hear you say this, because I didn't fit. You know, I didn't fit the mold. I mean, I didn't fit the mold because of the time when I came. There was only a handful of women who had ever been Durham Public Safety officers. Mm-hmm. And I can take one moment here and say that I was never formally mentored by any of them, but I'm so grateful for them, because they cracked that door open, and it was still not easy to push it open the rest of the way to get into Durham Public Safety, even in the early 80s. But they cracked the door open so that I would have an opportunity. And I tried really hard to let them know every day how much that I appreciated them for just being here when I got here, because I didn't have to be the first. Having said that, it still wasn't easy, and I didn't fit the mold. And it was back at a time where that women were not truly wanted in the police department. So I did feel out of place in the beginning, but I knew that there was a place for people that didn't fit that traditional mold. Yeah. And I didn't fit it. So when you start talking about how people are going to feel about you, or how hard it is, you got to work twice as hard, you know, as everybody else, just to be considered half as good. I really understood what you were saying, and I just wanted you to know that you were wonderful and perfect just the way you were, and you were placed there by God so that you could do things that didn't fit the mold, so that other people coming behind us would know that. But I don't remember the specific incident. I'm so glad that that's what you took away from it, because I always wanted you to be able to see you through my eyes.
Wow. I'm telling you, this is but never mind. Thank you, Loretta. Thank you so much.
I cried the day that the background investigator called me and wanted to background investigate you to go to Chapel Hill. I cried after I told him that if I had a cloning machine, I would clone you, and there'd be 750 AZ James running around in the Durham Police Department, that I would clone you, and that I would never make the decision to let you go. And I gave you the best recommendation in the world. Thank you for coming. I cried. I sat down after I hung up the phone and cried, because I knew you were gone.
Well. I can't tell you, and you, well, we could go on and on, but yeah, those titles are shared with you and some very other very important mentors in my life. More than you know, I can't even thank you enough. I want to ask y'all this in one sentence. What does mentorship mean to you personally? Mentorship mean to you?
Mentorship mean to me personally.
Yeah.
It means being an example.
Awesome. I love it. I love it.
And that's it. Being an example.
I want to make certain that I'm respecting Pastor, because I'm really big on pronouncing names correctly, right? So I've been saying, is it Finney?
You got it.
I've been saying Angela the whole time, but I want you to know I definitely respect the title, Pastor, and I just, but I've been making certain Angela was safe. So, but yeah, what's your one sentence?
Oh, man. One sentence. What's that question again?
In one sentence, what does mentorship mean to you?
I think maybe one sentence. Creating a buildable relationship.
Mm. Yeah, I like that too. Thank you. Thank you. Loretta?
Okay. You know, one sentence is hard for me, but I'm going to do it. I think that mentorship is developing relationships with people to help them grow and recognize their full potential.
Mm. All wonderful. Yeah, I like that. That was spot on.
So what's the most fulfilling part of watching someone you've mentored grow? I know Miss Loretta said she cried when she got off that one phone call and made that recommendation.
Yeah, I cried. It's joy. It's that feeling. It's that pure joy that I was talking about earlier that you don't get from lots of things in life. But when you know people and you contribute even in a small part of their life, that you watch them grow and you see how hard they work and you know that they deserve it. And then when they excel and they succeed, it's just pure joy to be a part of that. And I think it's kind of anybody that can influence somebody in a positive manner, I think that there's a certain gift from God that is involved there. If we influence anybody in a positive manner, I think God's behind it. And I also think that I feel honored that I could be used by God to anybody in any way. Because the bottom line, I think, when it's all said and done, that's what we're here for. We're here to love people, and we're here to help people.
Wow. Well said.
I know.
Any others? All right, I'll go to this one then. If someone listening today doesn't have a mentor, what's the first step they should take to find one? Someone's listening today, what's the first step they should take to find a mentor?
So I would definitely say pray, but mm-hmm. I think a close second would be observe mm-hmm. others.
I like that.
I definitely would tell them to observe. I think a lot of times, sometimes we look, you know, just pretty much on the outside what we can see, you know, tangible. We are, you know, we may see somebody who's successful mm-hmm. and you know, and you may think, oh man, they're a successful person, and you know, I'm going to talk to that person. But I think it takes more than that. I think it definitely takes you know, prayer number one, but I think it takes observing that, you know, those individuals, period. to kind of see if that person are would be a good fit for you.
Yeah. I like that. Anyone else? Anything to add?
Okay. I agree with the pastor, Pastor Finney, that definitely observe, yes, pray, but then observe who's around you and who you're in contact with as far as looking for someone to mentor you, because it's very important that you don't jump into it because they sound good or they look good or they seem to have it going on. And you end up with a mentor and you end up in a mess easily. So, that's my two cents.
Thank you.
I agree that we're all on the same page. I had written down pray, number one, look around to see, you know, who is available and who does well in your area that could mentor you. And Gail, we must have worked at the same place because I was like, you can listen to the mentor, but make sure to do all your research and consider the source.
Yep.
Love it.
Prayer number one, praying for God to send the right person into your life.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, that's good. Mentorship is so invaluable. And when you mentor somebody, you know, people are taking to heart what you say, you know, but we're also watching what you do. And so I know for me, when I told God, hey, I need a mentor, you know, I prayed because it's not something mentors, you know, you just don't give any and everybody that role. Don't afford everybody that opportunity, because oftentimes what I found is that sometimes once people see you start to elevate and God starts to really move in your life, what they think is publicly, then sometimes you may get an influx of people saying, hey, if you need a mentor, call me. But it's that person who's been right there with you, you know, letting you cry on their shoulder. It's that person pulling you back when you've gone too far. And that person who's there like, hey, you messed up this time, but hey, we're going to fix this out. We're going to work this out together. And so, and sometimes people get the role of a mentor and an advisor mixed up.
Yes.
Because I think it was Ms. Gill who said earlier that, a mentor is a person who helps to develop another person. An advisor will, you know, they'll offer you, you know, advice about what you should do. It's more of like a formal type of relationship, but mentors, it starts to take on that personal, it starts to become personal and really informal over time. You know, you can go and ask an advisor for information and they'll give you answers and stuff like that. But I believe through my experiences with mentors that mentors will give you their time. They'll give you their support. They'll share their experiences with you. And they won't hate on you. You know, because it's hard nowadays to find somebody to genuinely pour into you, you know, and, you know, be okay. Hey, they may go further than I am, but like Miss Loretta said, when she got off that phone call, she cried. And so we don't have a lot of people willing to cry after the phone calls nowadays, because, you know, they're not the ones willing to embrace the mentee. So the mentee can get to the point where they're, you know, being looked at as a candidate for a promotion. So, it's so important to pray about a mentor. Because we have to remember that we have the power of choice. We get to choose who we let be close to us and, you know, how much we tell them and
in all of it. So,
well said, Bernadette. Hey, you mentioned something else when we were talking about the show about the evolution of that mentor-mentee relationship, like evolving into family. And I can honestly say I do. I see Loretta and Gail. I love them. They're my family. We've gotten closer on levels that other people, you know, more than what an advisor, to your point, or just a student-teacher relationship. There is a real valuable, personal, caring relationship that exists, right? Yeah. And we say we love each other all quite often. So, but yeah, as we close, I'm going to ask y'all the last question. What is the single most important principle you believe every mentee should live by? Loretta?
Every mentee?
Yes.
I'm going to be repeating myself, but I think the single most important principle is that you love people, mm-hmm. that you love people and that you are humble and that you are willing to help others. You treat everybody like you would want to be treated. That golden rule that Gail mentioned earlier, I learned it when I was a child in church, and it kind of always stuck with me, and I was always really glad of that. But just treating people the way you want to be treated, and loving people and trying to help them. I think that if mentors would just go on those things, and then everything else that could go from there, they would be okay. The mentee and the mentor would end up in a wonderful relationship.
Thank you so much. I love that answer. Pastor?
I think what's most valuable to me is respect and honesty. You don't have to agree with someone to respect them.
Yes.
And then I think being honest is really key, especially in developing the relationship. And I think as it continues to grow, then I think it makes room for, you know, what you all just spoke about, the relationship to evolve into family. And, you know, because when I consider where my relationship started with Reverend Martin and in 2021 and in 2022, and here we are in 2025. And, you know, when I, you know, got on the call, you know, I called her B, you know, because the relationship evolved. Yes. and now we're family, and my family is her family, and her family, you know, is my family. And so, you know, just seeing how the dynamics have shifted, you know, and, you know, all what the Lord, had planned, what he had in store, because relationships are God's way of blessing us and how it grooms and grows us all in various relationships. And so it's something really, something, you know, it can really be dynamic. You know, some relationships are just for a season and then some are for a lifetime. Amen. And so just, you know, seeing how this relationship has shifted, you know, because of, you know, what you put in it, mm-hmm. you know, what you put in it. And I don't care what kind of relationship it is, you know, you got to put something in it.
Yes.
You know, in order to get something out of it. And so that's what I've seen from my experience here is putting something in it. It matters. It matters in order to get something out of it. And so I think that even with the relationships that you all shared in the law enforcement, you know, that I can hear in the comment, you know, of your mentors, you know, that y'all put something in it, you know, and y'all develop and grew those relationships, and y'all have all reaped the reward of great relationship here. So thank God.
Thank you. Yeah.
Could you ask that question again? say the question again.
So what's the most valuable lesson you think that a mentee or a principal, a mentee should live by?
I agree with everything that my sisters have shared concerning that. And one thing I would say that while a mentee should be, while they respect and glean from the mentor, that they should also be careful and recognize the humanity of the mentor.
Amen.
Mentor. They're not God.
That's good. Mm.
So, yeah, I would say that.
That was real good. It really was. What a way to end the question, saying, I just want to tell y'all, all three of you, thank you for pouring into us, for being that light, that confidant, the advisor. I mean, all the good things that make up a mentor, and trusting us with your time. Time is so precious. And so you could have been doing a million other things, but you took the time to invest in us. So from the bottom of my heart, I love you. I really appreciate everything you've done for me. And I know Bernadette feels the same way, Pastor. Yeah. Any final words for you, Bernadette, before we wrap up?
No, I just echo your sentiments. Thank you. I don't think we can say thank you enough.
No.
And sometimes we don't say thank you enough. But no, y'all are doing the work of God. Whether the mentorship became, you know, came by way formally or informally, you know, I believe that God is pleased, and it was all in his divine plan for our lives, to cross, and be here today to honor y'all and say thank you.
Amen. Amen. Hey, again, we love y'all. Thank y'all so much. And I'll be talking to you soon. God bless.
Right.
Awesome. Have a good night.
You too. Bye, Loretta. This episode is dedicated to my cousin, Andrea Veronica Weldon, who transitioned from this life into eternity this week. And we know her spirit, her love, and her light will continue to live in our hearts and in the legacy she leaves behind. We honor her today and always.
It's the unknown, it's the unknown, unknown preacher.